Welcome back to Be Fluent in Russian podcast. We have Chekhov number 3. We continue to read Dama с собачкой, A Lady with a Dog. And I'm having fun. I hope that you're having fun as well. And thank you so much for responding to my previous question about the authors that I consider to be the classics of American literature or some other Western literature. That was really interesting to read. Yes, I have heard some of the names that you guys have mentioned, but you know, I didn't know that. So now that I do, I'll be less critical of American literature. But let's continue our read of Dama с собачкой. Last time we spent a lot of time dissecting every single line. Today let's go a bit faster and maybe get some more progress in our reading. Okay? Of course I'll still translate everything, but we will look at the meaning of the sentences versus the meaning of individual words. Okay? Let's get right into this. We stopped at ее выражение, походка, платье, etc. So if you're reading this in a book or something, you can find that. And if you have time to look in the description of this podcast, it's going to be there as well. So let's get right into this. Okay, sorry, before I start, we finished at the time where, or at the point where he was in some cafe or restaurant, and she sat at the next table with the main guy. So, Дама с собачкой sat next to Гуров in the cafe. This is the continuation. Ее выражение, походка, платье, прическа говорили ему, что она из порядочного общества, замужем, в Ялте в первый раз и одна, что ей скучно здесь. That was her demeanor, her expression, her walk, her dress, her hairstyle told him that she was from the respectable society. She was married and in Ялта for the first time and alone, that she was bored here. So her whole demeanor showed him that she was bored. And now we have this long sentence, and you'll see why it's so long. It doesn't have a period. It's all commas in this next sentence. So that's how a lot of Russian authors like to write, with a lot of description, with things kind of going off of the previous point, so they never finish their thought, and it carries over and over and over. That's one of those sentences right now. В рассказах о нечистоте местных нравов много неправды. Он презирал их и знал, что такие рассказы в большинстве сочиняются людьми, которые сами бы охотно грешили, если б умели. Но, когда дама села за соседний стол в 3 шагах от него, ему вспомнились эти рассказы о легких победах, о поездках в горы, и соблазнительная мысль о скорой мимолетной связи, о романе с неизвестной женщиной, которой не знаешь по имени и фамилии, вдруг овладела им. Long sentence, and this is what it means. In the stories of the impurity of local morals, there was a lot of untruth. He despised them and knew that such stories are mostly concocted by people who themselves would gladly sin if they could. But when the lady sat down at the next table 3 steps from him, he remembered these stories of easy victories, of trips to the mountains, and the tempting thought of a swift, fleeting connection, of a romance with an unknown woman, whose name and surname or last name you don't know, suddenly took hold of him. That thought suddenly took hold of him. So let's break this one down. It has multiple structures, but we can break it down kind of to main points. В рассказах о нечистоте, in the stories of uncleanliness or dirt, местных нравов, of local tradition or local morals, много неправды. In those stories of the filth of the local morals, there's a lot of untruth. So people tell the stories about how people tend to be in Yalta, but there's a lot of untruth. And I think, if you think about, like, let's say, Miami, in Miami, there is kind of like this thought of low morals. People come there for spring break. They don't do the most moral things. And that's kind of the stories that are told about Miami. So I'm thinking of the same kind of vibe of Yalta back in the day. So in those stories, there's a lot of untruth, right? People like to spice up the stories. So he knew that. Gurov knew that in those stories, there's a lot of those kind of lies being told. It continues, on презиралых, he despised them, those stories. И знал, and he knew, такие рассказы в большинстве сочиняются людьми, that these stories are told or created or fabricated by the people, которые сами бы охотно грешили, если б умели. Those stories are kind of concocted by those people who would gladly sin themselves. Sin, they would love to sin. They would love to do those terrible things that they're talking about, if they could, but they can't. So the only thing that's left for them is to create these fictional stories about somebody else. So there's a lot of untruth there because the people who tell those stories kind of are jealous. And notice how a lot of this emotion and a lot of this detail is just within, like, you know, a few lines. That's the great Chekhov for you. No, but. So keep that in mind. A lot of bad things or lies told. But, когда дама села за соседний стол, when the lady sat down next to him or next to his table, ему вспомнились эти рассказы. He remembered these stories. What stories? О легких победах, about easy victories, о романе с неизвестной женщиной, about a romance with an unknown woman. And those thoughts. И мысль, and the thought, вдруг овладела им. And that thought of easy victories and being with the unknown woman suddenly took over him. So even though the stories were untrue, but when the lady sat down, he remembered them, and the thought of an easy victory of just getting with the lady without knowing her name, one night stand, it took over him. Next. Он ласково поманил к себе шпица и, когда тот подошел, погрозил ему пальцем. Шпиц заворчал. Гуров опять погрозил. He gently beckoned Spitz, the dog, to him, and, when it approached, wagged his finger at it. The Spitz growled. Gurov wagged his finger again. So he played a trick. He lured the little dog, Spitz, right, to him. But then when that dog came to him, he wagged him, right? He said, oh, don't you come here. He was kind of aggressive with the dog so that the dog can bark or growl. So a few phrases. Поманил к себе, beckoned to him, or lured to him. Next verb, crucial verb, подошел. Подошел came up or approached. You guys know шел walked or was walking. But подошел means to come up. And then another great verb that is very rare, заворчал, which means to growl. Заворчал. Also, ворчать means to kind of be upset with something and just like, oh, all of these youngings are over here on TikTok and they are doing crazy things. That can also be ворчать, when you are just growling, when you are not growling like a dog, but you are upset about something and you just kind of talk to yourself under your breath of your annoyance and of your kind of disappointment with somebody. That can also be ворчать as a person. But when dog ворчать, that means it growls. Okay? Next sentence. Дама взглянула на него и тотчас же опустила глаза. «Он не кусается», — сказала она и покраснела. The lady looked at him and immediately lowered her eyes. «He doesn't bite», — she said, and blushed. So дама взглянула. The lady looked. Взглянуть, even though it has four consonants in the beginning, is a difficult thing to pronounce, but try to say it after me. взглянула. Взглянула. So взгл is the most difficult part. Взглянула. That means to take a look. Дама взглянула на него. The lady took a look at him. И тотчас же опустила глаза. And immediately, тотчас же means in the same exact time. But тотчас же, it's a very poetic, very kind of form of phrase that you can use. You can see a lot in different books and writings, but an easier word would be сразу. Сразу means immediately. Тотчас же means kind of the same thing, but it's a very, yeah, it's a phrase that we don't really use in our regular lives. But, yeah. Он не кусается, he doesn't bite, сказала она, she said, and then a great word, покраснела. She turned red, or she blushed. Покраснеть means to turn red. And then the dialogue continues. Можно дать ему кость? И когда она утвердительно кивнула головой, он спросил приветливо. Вы давно изволили приехать в Ялту? That's it. May I give him a bone? He asks. And when she nodded affirmatively, he asked amiably, or friendly, being friendly, have you been in Ялта long? So, he lured the dog to him. The dog, he made the dog growl so that she can say he doesn't bite, so that she can have her first phrase in this dialogue. So he won't come up to her and say, hey, lady, where are you from? I like you. He made the dog kind of force her to start the conversation. So, можно дать ему кость? May I give him the bone? Можно дать, can I give? And then он спросил, he asked, он спросил, вы давно изволили приехать в Ялту? Have you been in Yalta long? So he wants to start the conversation. Next. Дни пять. А я уже дотягиваю здесь вторую неделю. She answers, 5 days. But дни пять, when we have the number last, that means that we're given an approximation. Пять дней would be 5 days. I'm here for 5 days, for sure. But дней пять, about 5 days. So, just flipping the order of the time and the number changes it from a fact to an estimation. So, дней пять means about 5 days. And then he answers, а я уже дотягиваю здесь вторую неделю. And I'm already stretching out my second week here. This means not like stretching out, but I'm reaching toward my second week here. I'm finishing up my second week here. Помолчали немного. Время идет быстро. А между тем здесь такая скука, сказала она, не глядя на него. They were silent for a bit. Time passes quickly. Yet it's so boring here, she said. Not looking at him. Some crucial phrases here. Время идет быстро. The time passes quickly, or the time goes quickly. А между тем здесь такая скука. But yet, it's such bore here. Такая скука. Don't confuse this with a curse word, okay? Скука has an extra K. Скука. It means it's such a bore here. The time goes so quickly, but it's such a bore here. She said, and she was not looking at him when she was saying that. So imagine her and him kind of sitting next to each other, but she's looking down. Because immediately when she said that the dog doesn't bite, she took her eyes down. She put her eyes down. So she's still not looking at him, but she's starting the conversation. So he says, I'm here for my second week now, but then they fell silent, and then she starts the conversation. Then he answers. Это только принято говорить, что здесь скучно. Обыватель живет у себя где-нибудь в Белеве или Жиздре, и ему не скучно. А приедет сюда, ах, скучно, ах, пыль. Подумаешь, что он из Гренады приехал.
It's just customary to say it's boring here, or people tend to say it's boring here. The ordinary person lives somewhere in Belev or Zhizdra, and he is not bored. But when he comes here, oh, how boring, oh, the dust. You would think he came from Granada.
So, I'm not sure where those places are and why he's talking about them like Belev, Jizdra. I guess like Belev and Jizdra is smaller, worse places than Yalta. But he says that they're saying that as if they come from Granada, which I'm not sure what that is either. So maybe you guys can give me some context. Email us or put it in the comments on YouTube. It's up to you. But crucial phrases here. Принято говорить. It's customary to say, or people are used to saying, or it's a tradition to say, принято. Принято means it's accepted. We can talk about traditions with this word, принято. Принято говорить до свидания. It's customary to say goodbye here, or it's kind of a tradition to say goodbye in a certain way, let's say. It's a phrase that we use a whole lot. And then... Здесь скучно, it's boring here. Another good phrase. And then... Подумаешь, you can think. Подумаешь, you can think, or one may think something. I think that's about it. Next. Она засмеялась. Потом оба продолжали есть молча, как незнакомые. Но после обеда пошли рядом. И начался шутливый, легкий разговор людей свободных. Довольных, которым все равно, куда бы ни идти, о чем ни говорить. She laughed. Then they both continued to eat in silence, like strangers. But after lunch, they walked side by side. And a playful, light conversation began, of free, content people, to whom it didn't matter where to go and what to talk about. Она засмеялась. Great phrase, she started laughing, or she laughed. We have a verb смеяться. Смеяться means to laugh or to be laughing, but засмеяться means to start laughing. Потом, then, оба, both of them, продолжали есть, continue to eat, как незнакомые, like strangers. Знакомый means acquaintance. Незнакомый means not acquaintance, so a person that I don't know. And then, what about some adjectives here? Шутливый, playful, шутливый comes from a word шутка, a joke. So, jokeful or playful, легкий, light. And then this describes people. Людей свободных, of free, довольных, content. Great four adjectives here to describe a conversation, or a person, or something else. And then, next sentence. Они гуляли и говорили о том, как странно освещено море, вода была сиреневого цвета, такого мягкого и теплого, и по ней от луны шла золотая полоса. They walked and talked about how strangely the sea was lit. The water was a lilac. The water was a lilac color, or like a purple color, so soft and warm, and a golden strip ran along it from the moon. So, the water itself was purple, but then the golden strip was going from the moon. I guess the reason why it was purple was because it was a sunset, probably, right? That's when the water is kind of a purple color. Blue of the water, red of the sun, and so it's like a purple color. But then... The sunset was there, but also the moon was there. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that's possible. So, они гуляли. They walked. Now, гулять is not just to walk. Like, okay, I'm walking to the store. But гулять means to walk around. Kind of stroll. Without a certain destination in mind. And странно, strangely or weirdly. And then we have these, again, these adjectives. Сиреневый. Lilac or purple, сиреневый, мягкий, soft, теплый, warm, золотая полоса, golden strip. How descriptive, right? Just, you can imagine them walking and seeing this kind of sunset next to them. But that's it for today. Let's summarize everything that we have read so far with this Дама с собачкой. We have the main character, Гуров.
this guy who's been in Yalta for a minute now, for 2 weeks almost, and he wants to get to know some new people. And somebody started talking that there's this new person, Dama с собачкой, kind of in the people, in the light, coming with her dog just to relax at the waterfront, right? And Gurov himself is about 40 years old with two children, but he would rather not go home to his wife, but because she's kind of like a older lady, or it seemed like she just got older much faster than him. And so he didn't really think of women that highly. He called them the lower race. But, you know, when he was with women, he felt better than when he was with men, and he felt himself. He could joke, he could laugh, all this stuff. And then he sees this woman, and he is charmed by her. Regardless of his experience of this one fleeting moment, and then the ladies kind of ruin his life a little bit, this emotion of being with somebody overtook him. And so one day she sat next to him randomly, and they struck a conversation about how long have you been in Yalta, all this stuff. And now they're walking together with the sunset, with this moon, kind of a romantic scene. And we'll see where this one takes us in the next episodes of this podcast. I hope that you're enjoying Chekhov's writing, and this writing in particular, this piece. But that's it. I hope you guys learned something useful today. If you want to continue learning Russian with us, with BeFluent, check out BeFluent with the first link in the description. It's a platform where we have grammar, listening, speaking, vocabulary, all of that. It's a complete platform for any Russian learner. You will enjoy it, and you also have a 7-day free trial for you to try it out and see if you like it or not. And that is all. And see you all on BeFluent platform. That's all. Пока-пока.